All right, so in this video, we're going to talk about adding an option so that a user can purchase the ability to remove ads from the application. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But if you recall at the very end of the previous video, I was a little flustered because we lost some functionality in our application. We added the ad control, and then our application no longer showed album art. Can't play without the album art. So, what I discovered apparently is unique to my machine. When I dragged and dropped the Ad Mediator control onto the designer surface, somehow, some way, it removed all of the binding expressions in the data template, here in the source, here in the item source for the grid view. Everything else was there, just anything that had to do with data binding was stripped out. So I merely just pasted that in from a previous older version of the example, and it works again. So I talked to Microsoft about this. Apparently, this is something specific to my machine, but just be forewarned, if you hit the same thing, then at least now you know what's going on. That took a few hours out of my life. I'll never get back. Okay. All right. But the what we want to talk about is actually how do we add the ability to allow the user to make purchases inside of our apps. And there's a great starting point for learning about this at the following URL. So let me navigate there actually. All right, and the instructions are pretty good here. You should be forewarned that there are a few things that you're going to have to do during development time that you're going to have to change right before you submit your application to the App Store. So one of the things that we're going to do is work with something called a current app simulator. Once we have finished debugging our application and our application is feature complete, then we're going to change all references to the current app simulator to simply current app. Okay. Furthermore, whenever we're in the store and we're ready to publish our application, there will be an opportunity there to list out each of the options that can be purchased from within inside of our application. So we create what's called an in-app offer token. We just have to make sure that we remember what these are and enter them, as well as the price, how much we're going to charge for each of these options, and so on. And we'll see a little bit of this in just a bit. But here I have an extremely simple application that will demonstrate just the bare bones functionality for enabling or disabling a feature based on whether the user has made a purchase or not. So let's go ahead and run the application. And you can see at this point, I've determined that the feature in question, a rectangle, the user has not purchased the rectangle yet, so they see the purchase rectangle button. Now, you don't have to use a button, you can use a link, you can use anything that you want that can just trigger the process of displaying the purchase option to the end user. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, let's go ahead and purchase the rectangle. Now, we see this simulation of the purchase process pop up. This is the current app simulator's user interface. And we'll show you the code where we actually call in to pop this up. And you can see the in-app offer token is called my in-app offer token. The return code, we can say whether this succeeds, whether it fails, whether there's invalid arguments that have been sent in. So we can test a lot of different conditions that we would expect to receive back from the store whenever our app is live and available for purchase online. But this time I'm going to go ahead and say the code to return is okay. So I hit continue, and you'll notice that the purchase button went away and I displayed the red rectangle that the user purchased. Okay. Now let me show you how this works. First of all, what you need to do is understand that there is a local file that keeps track of all of the in-app purchases and whether an app is in trial mode or not. And it's called the Windows Store Proxy.xml file. And if you take a look back on that web page, it talks about the location for this on the local user's hard drive. So you can actually go to your own local hard drive, and if you've purchased applications or you've added in-app purchases to specific applications, you can go look for this file. I'm not sure if it'll show it to you or not. However, I haven't actually taken the time to look for these files in for other applications. But if you look at your user profile /appdata/local/packages, then whatever the package name is, and it's going to be a big long GUID, /local/state/microsoft/windows-store/api-data/windows-store-proxy.xml, then you're going to see a file that looks something like this. Let me go ahead and open it up here in Notepad. All right, and again, this is just the sample that was created for a sample application that I created. And what I did was I took this, edited it, and then added that a version of this to the assets directory of my project. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But essentially, this is going to contain listing information, the name of the app, the description of the app, the price of the app, and for the various markets where the app is sold. Then there are individual products that can be purchased within the application itself. So you can see there's two different product types. There's a durable product type. This obviously would last for the duration of your ownership. And then there are consumable product types. So this might be credits or tokens towards something in the game, like in the app. Like in a game situation, you might purchase gold and you might use that gold and use it up essentially. That's a consumable in-app purchase. But if I were to turn on a feature by paying an extra $2, $5, that would be a durable product type. I have to use that name of that in-app purchase token, the feature token, and then the price, and you know, obviously it's in dollars USD in this particular market data, and you can see that this is for the English US, so I could define multiple of these for different regions and languages around the world. And then each of these have a product ID, as you can see, and those are referenced down here in the license information. So you have the listing information on top, which lists the app itself as well as any in-app purchases, and then the licensing information is really what we're most concerned about, especially in our case, since we're worried about a durable product that we're going to enable. So first of all, the app itself. Is the app active? So has the user purchased the app? If it's is active is true, then they can use the app. If it's false, then they won't be able to. And you can also have a trial mode for a certain period of time as defined up here, but we don't have a trial mode. So we can turn that off and set it to false. But here's the key for the purpose of this video is the product ID and whether this particular in-app purchase is active or not. So let's take a look now. I took this general template, and I created a template, or I'm sorry, a file called test.xml that's specific to this application. I left some of the things like the market data off. I really don't care about that so much. But what I really focused on was this My In-App Offer Token product ID. And for the English US market, I also used the name. I could give this a more friendly name, I suppose. And then finally here at the bottom, for that given in-app offer, the license information, I've got the is active set to false. Now, when I run the application, it's going to read in that file. It's going to know the different products that are available in-app, and it will then determine that I do not currently have that feature. So show the purchase button for that feature. Then after I make the purchase, then it will change the value is active is true. All right. Now it's important to know that in debug time with these files that we're loading here locally into the current app simulator, it will not write to these files. So if I want to test the condition where the purchase was already made prior to running the application a second or subsequent time, then I can change that value from false to true and rerun the application. You can see now it just defaults to, hey, you've already purchased the red rectangle, here it is. Okay. So some important things to consider when you're going to use this. Now let's take a look at the code itself and what we did. I kept everything in the main page.xaml.cs, but obviously if you're working with something that is a little bit more global in nature, then you're going to want to put this in the app.xaml.cs file instead and then reference it from the rest of the application. Okay, so in the page load, you can see that I've got some important little bits here where I put a flower box comment around it and some explanation. Here is where I load up that test.xml file that we looked at just a moment ago, and then I give it to the current app simulator and say, hey, reload the simulator and use that test file that I created. Okay, and once I am about to submit this application to the store, I would want to comment all of this out or delete it completely. Probably just comment it out because I want to continue to test this even after I release the application. Furthermore, I would want to change all of these references to current app simulator to just current app dot license information, so on. Okay, so at any rate, first of all, I want to get a reference to the app license information, and then I can look at the various product licenses and say, hey, I have a product with this token name, my in-app offer token. Is it active or not? If it is active, then we'll change the visibility both of the rectangle and the purchase button accordingly. And so that's what I do in these lines of code here. All right, so then whenever the purchase button is clicked, here again, we're going to ensure that that particular in-app offer token is not active. If it is active, then there's a problem with the logic in my application because it shouldn't be, right? So we would just bail out of this. However, assuming that we have not already purchased this once, then we want to, and this is the key, make a call into request product purchase async and pass in that token for the product that we're going to allow the user to purchase. So we call current app simulator dot request product purchase async, and that's what pops up that little dialogue and what would pop up a common dialogue in the phone or on the desktop to allow the user to decide whether they're going to pay $2, $5 for the in-app purchase. Okay, and once it's complete, we're going to get back a purchase results. This is what's going to give us that the purchase succeeded or the order wasn't fulfilled, it wasn't purchased, it's already been purchased. But if it succeeds, then what we want to do is adjust the state of the application accordingly, and then in this case just change the visibility of the rectangle and the button and then move on. That's all there is to it. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's really not that hard to add this into your app. And obviously in-app purchases are the best way to monetize an application because you give people a reason to download the app in the first place, and then you only monetize it for those hyper responders who want the extra features that you're willing to sell them. Okay, so now what we want to do is apply everything we learned here into our app. So I'm going to move this, I'm going to move this out of the way off screen, and I'm going to pop back over to the album cover match game. And what I'm going to do is set the visibility of the add mediator control. So visibility equal collapse to begin with. All right. And then what I'm also going to do here is add, now I'll keep it simple. It's not going to be pretty, but I'm going to add a button instead and just put it here, and let's call this the name equals purchase button, and the click event will be purchase button click, and the content equals remove ads. Okay. And we'll worry about how it looks and where it's positioned in just a moment. I'm not going to worry about that just yet. But I probably should put it in the same grid cell for now. Okay. So let's separate this out on the separate lines, like so. And now let's go into the purchase button click event. Okay. Next up, what I want to do is go ahead and I'm going to add a new item. Sorry, that's off to the right-hand side. And I'm going to create a new XML file. And I can call this anything. I'm just going to call it test for now. And this is where I'm going to go to the test XML file that I created a moment ago that we looked at in that in-app purchase example. And I'm just going to copy and paste it here, the body of it, into this test XML. I'm going to probably need to change things like the app name. So album, cover, match, game, the description, have fun, guessing, song, and album, art from your music collection. And I don't know, the price of this is going to be free, right? So probably just leave that at zero. And here we come to the My In-App Offer Token. I'm actually going to call this something different, the Remove Ads Offer. Maybe that's something we can call it. And we'll say Remove Ads from the app, and the price will be $1, and then we'll make sure to paste in that product ID here and set the is active to false, and that should be all we need to do in that file. Okay, I'm going to close it for now, and I literally am just going to copy code that we've already written in that in-app purchase example that we looked at a little bit earlier. So what I'll do to begin with here is in the page loaded event, I'm really just going to copy all this stuff and paste it in there, because there's not much that needs to change, except I'm going to need to paste in, whoops. I'm going to need to get that, whatever I called that, remove ads offer. And I'll need to paste it in here. I think that's it for now. Okay, you can see that we got some red squigglies. Let me get my face off of here so you can see the whole screen. All right, so now we're going to hit control period to start adding using statements. Current app simulator. Let's hit control period. It's in windows.applicationmodel.store. We'll add that. That should resolve a bunch of stuff for us. Oh yeah, and this app license information, I actually created that as a public property of the main page.xaml. So up here at the top, above private, I'm going to paste in that. I just did prop tab license information object. It's of type windows.applicationmodel.store.licenseinformation, and I named it app license information and just let the default getters and setters leave them where they are. Okay. Now you can see that I'm getting red squigglies because of the fact that this is should have an async keyword there in the method signature. And then obviously this isn't what we want here. We're going to have to rethink that as well. And that actually should be pretty easy, right? What we'll do is we got the name of the mediator add mediator control. So let's set the visibility equal to visibility.collapsed if they've purchased the feature. And if they can't, then we'll set the visibility equal to visible. And then the same is true for the button. What did I name that button? We named it purchase button. Great. So the reverse will be true on the visibility of the purchase button. So purchase button.visibility equals visibility.visible. And then the reverse is true here. Great. All right, so far so good. So the last thing that we need to do is just find the purchase button click event. And here what we want to do is actually pop up the purchase dialog. So I'm going to paste that in. Here again, this is going to be async. And I need the name of my offer. I probably should make this a constant, frankly, instead of using these magic strings all over the place. All right, and then we'll obviously want to change this if succeeded. So then that means we want to get rid of the add mediator. So let me copy those two lines of code and replace them with this. You see how easy that was? Okay. All right, now I am concerned about the placement of this button, where it's actually going to show up. The way it stands right now, the button will actually sit on top of the control. Let's see how it looks, and then we can make some hard decisions about that. All right, I don't see my button. All right, button, where'd you go? Oh, I just noticed something here. When we drag and drop that control, it put a huge margin, negative margin there. I'm not sure why I needed to do that. Maybe we'll try this. Vertical alignment top and horizontal alignment will equal right. See how what that gives us. Still not seeing my button. Where are you? Huh. What am I missing here? Oh, you know what? I'm a complete and utter knucklehead. Here's the problem. It's not exactly like the previous scenario. You're probably sitting there and saying, Bob, you're missing the point of this. If you purchase this, it should go away. And so, unlike our example where we show something when you purchase it, now we want to hide something when you purchase it. We want to hide both the button and the add mediator control. I'm a little embarrassed. Sorry about that, but that's what you get whenever you code in front of a live audience. Okay. So, probably would want to add a little bit of margin there, clean things up, make it look a little better. But let's go ahead and click the remove ads. And I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, let's remove them, and it works. Awesome. And we'll just pick one. Oh, got to learn those songs. All right, so we're pretty much done with the app. Like I said, I would really, really like to get a graphic designer involved in this and add some better aesthetic, maybe some better placement of things and so on. One thing I am going to do here is just add a little margin around the mediator control and around the button itself. So let me think about this for a moment. What I want to do is just let's set a margin here of 10 on the left, 10 on the top, And I think I may need to make some more room here, actually. This is, I think this is a 100, and yeah, row definition, I'll make 110, because 90 plus 10 plus 10. In fact, let's just be brief about this. And I'm going to do the same thing here as well. So margin 10. And let's see what that gives us. I might move that to the lower right-hand corner, but you know, at this point, it's kind of academic. Probably need a good logo. Obviously need better artwork. So really the focus here on this particular project was being able to access all of the files from a library, being able to iterate through and grab them all. We were working with the knownfolders.library collection of files to get all of the music files on your local computer. I think the other thing that we wanted to demonstrate in this was adding ads to monetize the application and then adding the in-app purchase like we did in this video. And I can't seem to think of what else we wanted to demonstrate. Just, playing media, retrieving a file and playing it, and just a ton of logic here to decide what to play and how to play it and keep score and all those sorts of things. So hopefully it was a helpful project in that regard. So the great news is that we have one more project left, and it's going to be a fun project because we're going to get to work with the Marvel API, and I'm really excited about this. So we'll see you in that lesson. Thanks.